This is United Tribes News Radio. Insights into Native culture, people, ideas, topics to improve understanding. From United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck. What do you call a line of rabbits walking backwards? A receding hairline, of course. Keep that in mind as you listen to this guest speaker edition of United Tribes News. The presenter is Richard B., or Rick Williams, a passionate and articulate advocate for American Indian education. He's Ogallala Lakota and Northern Cheyenne, and he lives in Colorado. From 1997 to 2012, he served as president and CEO of the American Indian College Fund. The College Fund is a national nonprofit scholarship fundraising organization for American Indian students who attend tribal colleges and universities. Williams excelled as a fundraiser. He's also a scholar and fierce champion of Native peoples across the United States. And he has a delightful sense of humor. In this recording from the United Tribes News Archive, he presented the keynote talk at a scholarship banquet for UTEC in 2012. Mr. Williams was introduced by UTEC's Mark Mint.
As we get into our next speaker here, we talked about some of the lessons we learned throughout our year. And one of the things is, as you learn something, as an educator, I know this, that when I learn something, I always remember it a little better if I can pass it along. So I mentioned to you before how our guest speaker tonight talked to me about the first rule in Native tribal people is respect. He also talked to me about this, too. When you take your two fingers here and hold them against your right cheek and in a 45-degree angle, go a downward motion like that. This here, when you see somebody do that, you know that they're on the same wavelength as you. You know that you're a leader. You know that you're somebody that'll stand up for other people and tell them, hey, when you're feeling down, don't get down on yourself. Because what this means, he said, as a warrior, when they put that and they put their fingers like this and move it across, it means don't give up. Never give up. Mr. Richard Rick Williams, who is the president and chief executive officer for the American Indian College Fund, is a member of the Ogallala tribe. He has served as the president and chief CEO of the American Indian College Fund since October 1997. The American Indian College Fund, a national nonprofit organization headquartered in Denver, Colorado, raises private support for scholarships, endowments, programs, and public awareness on behalf of more than 30 U.S. tribal colleges and universities. Today, Williams is a humble father of four children and a proud grandfather. Williams resides in Bloomfield, Colorado, with his wife, Sally Carafil Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rick Williams.
You guys don't have to get up.
What'd you do so they stood up?
I have no idea.
Kaumidako yapi, lelo betu ki lila washtelo. Lakota imachi api tatanko huhaska, na mila haska imachi api Rick Williams. And I'm the president of the American Indian College Fund, and I'm really honored to be here tonight. It's a privilege to be in the presence of the First Lady and the Governor. And it's truly, you know, I told the Governor when he sat down, I said, Governor, you're going to have to sit in the second chair because David Gipps sits in the first chair. Tonight is David Gipps' right and duty to sit in the first chair. I want to share some words with you, and I'm glad Mark mentioned the first law of Indian people, respect. Many years ago, as a young man, when I was about 20 years old, I had the opportunity to attend Chief Frank Fools Crow's Sundance. And during his Sundance, his Iapaha was a man that his name was Matthew King, but he called himself Noble Red Man. And kind of a, you know, I'm not sure why he, you know, because, you know, they always talked about, you know, the distinguished civilized Indian was the Noble Red Man. And I think he jokingly, you know, called himself that. What was from him and his an Iapaha to Sundance is the person that serves like Mark, as the MC, he tells what's going on. He describes what's happening, and this man was brilliant. He was a genius. He was a great philosopher. From the moment that he started talking early in the morning, get up, get ready, make sure the fire is hot, get the sweats ready. And then he would start talking about different kinds of things. He'd say, well, God is everywhere. Look around. You can see him in the trees and the grass. And he would explain how the Creator worked. And one of the things he said that I always thought was the most profound was the first law of Indian people is respect. And he went on to say, respect means respecting all those things around you, all the plants and the animals, the people, your relatives. Later on in life, after he passed away, I used to think about that, and I started reading Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, and when I began to try to understand the philosophy of the great philosophers, I recognized and realized that Matthew King was probably the greatest philosopher of contemporary times, and most people never got to know him. Most people never knew who he was. Because if you think about a philosophical concept that centers around the first law is respect, and everything evolves from that, that's pretty powerful. That's a very powerful philosophical concept. And that's what governs Indian people, is that philosophical concept. I chose to represent that against something like Plato once said, love thyself properly, for if thyself is not loved, how can thy neighbor be loved? And then you juxtapose that against the first law is respect. It isn't about you. It's about respecting those around you. So I always loved that little piece that I learned way back then. I'm going to share another one of those little just pieces of wisdom that over the years I've had the opportunity to have these wonderful experiences. It was a very sad time in my life. I just lost one of my cousins. It was somebody that I'd grown up with, probably the person that was closest to me in my life as a male. He was a year older than me, and I was very depressed and sad. And I had a chance to go talk to a medicine man. At the time, I was living on the Cheyenne River Reservation, working on the Swiftbird Project. And at the far end of the reservation, in Bridger, was a medicine man by the name of Charlie Mexican. He was an elderly man at that time. He was pretty old. And there was a young man that was training as a medicine man, took me there to visit him. And we got there in the afternoon, we sat down, and we'd brought him food, and we talked. And, I really didn't have to get up and speak tonight, because in the traditions of the Lakota, the old Lakota ways was, when you feed somebody, that means you expect them to leave. So I was going to sneak out, and so we never ate. They sat there and they talked, and they were speaking mostly in Lakota, but every once in a while I'd hear them say stuff like, athlete's feet. They were talking about, medicine for athlete's feet. And, I heard him mention cancer. And so I know that they were talking about different kinds of Indian medicines. And, of course, being young, I was, a little bit aggressive. And, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd finished talking. And the medicine man turned to me and he said, I know why you're here. And right away I said, well, I came because I wanted to talk to you about my cousin. And he looked at me and he said, I know why you're here. And he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, whatever you want to do in your life, whatever you choose to do, you have this spirit about you. And if you want to do it bad enough, you can do it. And I always remembered that, because we all have that spirit. That spirit to do, if we really want to do something, we can do it. If you want to be governor, You believe you want to be it, you can do it. You want to lead one of the nation's best colleges for 43 years, delivering excellent services and programs, you can do it if you believe in it. And that's sort of guided my life in all things that, years later, I read, there's this book came out, and it was called The Secret. Anybody read The Secret? The Secret. It said the same thing. I learned that as a young man from a medicine man. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's about education, and it's about the wisdom of the people. And there was this young man. He'd grown up with his grandfather and his grandmother, and he had attended a tribal college, and he got his two-year degree, and he was ready to go on. He got accepted into MIT, into an engineering program, and he was ready to move on. And his grandfather was kind of sad, and his grandmother was very sad, and as they took him to the airport, and just before he got on the plane, his grandfather gave him a rock. And he said, "Grandson," he said, "Takoja," he said, "no matter where you go, always remember where you're from in the world we live in. I always remember the teachings, our teachings about the world around us." He said, "Always remember this rock is alive and it's a relative of yours." So the young man said, "Okay, Grandpa," and he got on the plane and disappeared, was away. He never came back for 10 years. He'd gone to MIT, graduated from MIT, got an engineering degree, went on and got a master's degree, ended up getting a PhD. He had finally got a job in an engineering firm that was doing some pretty important research for MIT, and he came home. And his grandma and his grandpa had aged quite a bit since then, and he got off the plane, and he was just proud to be, to be home, and they were just proud to see him, and they gave him hugs, and they took him back to the reservation, and his grandma fed him some buffalo corn soup and some fry bread, and he liked that, and his grandpa said, "Grandson, do you remember the rock?" And the young man kind of hesitated, and he said, "Do you remember what I told you about the rock, that it's alive and it's our relative?" And the young man said, "Yeah, Grandpa, where I went to school," he said, "that's, I learned that that's not true." His grandpa was kind of shocked. He said, "Grandson," he said, "remember what I taught you when you were little about the rock?" And he said, "Well, no, I don't remember that. But I know, Grandpa, there's these big institutions and they teach you a lot. And there's people that know so much." He said, "and they would never believe that the rock is alive." So he said, "Grandson, come with me." So he took him down to the sweat lodge, and he took a rock and he put it on the fire, and he heated that rock up. When that rock was glowing, he took it off the fire. He said, "Takoja, look." He said, "See it? You can see it's alive. It's glowing." His grandson said, "Grandfather, there's an explanation for that." He said, "When there's a transfer of energy and heat is produced, it often creates a glow." He said, there's actually a formula, thermodynamics, that indicates that how this transfer of heat to this rock causes it to look like it's alive. "But Grandpa, it's not alive." He said, "It's not alive." His grandfather said, "Grandson, but it is alive." He said, "No, Grandfather, it's not." So his grandfather said, "Watch." And he took a little bit of water and he threw it on that hot rock. And that rock said, "Psst." Indian people always say that, huh? "Psst, psst." They learned it from that rock, huh? He said, "Grandfather said, see, it's talking to us. This rock's talking to us." Grandson said, "Grandpa, that rock's not alive." He said, "What you see is when there's energy and you have heat and you have a liquid and you introduce them together, the transformation creates a gas." He said, "There's a formula that we learned at school that talks about how gas from water turns to gas." And he said, it's "the rock's really not alive, Grandpa." Grandfather was very frustrated. He said, "Grandson, come with me, come with me." And he picked up another rock and he went down by a pond. It was nice and calm. And grandfather said, "Watch." Threw that rock into the pond. That rock hit. And all of a sudden, there were ripples coming off. He said, "Grandson, can you see that rock's heartbeat? Look at it. You can see it's beating." Grandson said, "Grandpa, that's just, that rock's not alive. You know, when I was at MIT, we learned about fluid dynamics and wave motions." He said, "I actually can create a logarithm that can match the waves and demonstrate to you that that rock's not alive." Grandfather was frustrated. He said, "Grandson," he said, "you work at this place that's real fancy. It's got all kinds of equipment." He said, "and you work with MIT." He said, "take me back there." He said, "I want to see what they taught you. I want to see what you learned so that you forgot this rock was alive." So they went back to MIT and they went into the campus and they went into the engineering building and the science building. And his grandpa said, "show me an electron microscope." So they went to an electron microscope and said, Grandpa said, "put this rock underneath that microscope. Let's look at it." So they put it underneath an electron microscope and they looked at it. And the grandson's looking at it. And now he can see electrons and protons moving. And Grandpa said, "I told you that rock was alive." So sometimes the wisdom of our elders, we forget that they probably know more than us, that they know a lot about the world around us. So I think, you know, that's a really good lesson to maybe help sometimes humble some of these youngsters when they think they know more than we do. You know, I'm going to offer a word of advice. I understand we have a couple people that are going to be recognized. I want to give you just one real simple word of advice, wisdom. I like to work on cars. And I had this one tool cabinet that lifted up and it folded over. And right in front there's this great big sign: "Keep your hands out of here. Danger." Big sign right on the front of it. You know, and I lifted that thing up and I was messing around and I got ready to close it and I stuck my hand in there and I closed it and my finger got stuck in there and crushed the end of my finger. And it hurt really bad. It hurt, you know, and I'm sitting there looking at that sign saying, man, I was warned. So I went to the doctor and they bandaged my finger up. And I went to work the next day. And there's this young lady. Her name was Michelle Shenandoah. She's from the Oneida tribe in New York. And she said, "Rick, what'd you do to your finger?" She was looking at my big old bandaged up finger. So I told her, I said, "well, there's a sign that says, keep your fingers out of there, you know." I said, "I went and stuck my finger in there and I heard it." And she turned around and she looked at me and she said, "well, you're going to be dumb. You better be tough." Remember that. You know, I've known Dr. Gipp for a long time. I believe I first met Dr. Gipp in right after he first came to work at United Tribes. And he's an amazing man. And I want to tell this little story about him because I think it personifies who he is as an individual. Back in those early days, I was working on the Cheyenne River Reservation, and I came up to ask if United Tribes would provide an Indian-oriented GED program for a program that I was working on the reservation down there. And he said, "sure," he said, "we can do that." And he said, "just come up and see me." And he said, "we'll go back down there," and he said, "we'll get things straightened out." So I said, "okay." So I got in my pickup and I drove up from Eagle Butte to Bismarck and picked him up. And we started back down there. And just before we got to the North Dakota state line, this rabbit runs across the road. And you know how it makes that when you hit him? I'm sorry, that's what happened. You know, and all of a sudden Dr. Gipp says, "Rick, wait a minute. You can't leave that rabbit like that." You know, and I know he's a kind man. I know he's, you know, got his heart in the right place. And I'm thinking, you know, does he want me to bury it? You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to eat it? So I pulled over and we backed up, and he had this bag, you know. He always has a bag. Everywhere he goes, he's always carrying his bag with him. And he had this bag, and he got out, and he said, "Wait here." So he went out there, and he drug that rabbit to the side of the road, and he got in that bag, and he bent over, and he was doing something. And pretty soon, he got in that bag, and he got a can out, and he started spraying that rabbit, spraying it once, twice, three times. The fourth time is a sacred among the Indian people, the fourth time. All of a sudden, that rabbit set up. One ear went up. Another ear went up. It kind of shook itself a little bit, you know, and it looked at him, and it ran off the road a little ways and stopped and turned around and looked back at him. Waved. I said, "Oh my goodness. This guy's got some power. You know, that's medicine man power." That rabbit ran a little bit further and stopped again, turned around, looked at him, waved again. You know, David puts this can back in his bag and he gets in the car, and, you know, we drive the pickup the rest of the way. And we got to Eagle Butte, and he said, "I got to use the restroom, Rick." I said, "Okay, go ahead. You know, I'll stop for you." So he stopped at that filling station right there at the corner. He went in, and, you know, I had to know. I looked in the bag. I had to know what this was. So I opened up this bag and I pulled it out. It was a can. It was a big, kind of a big can. Had on it hairspray. Makes dead hair come back to life. Comes with a permanent wave. Well, thank you, and enjoy your evening.
That was Rick Williams in a recording made in 2012, just prior to his retirement as president and CEO of the American Indian College Fund. During his leadership, the College Fund raised more than $45 million in private funds for the accredited tribal college and universities across the country. That support helped to improve campuses and preserve Native intellectual capital. Rick Williams lives in Colorado with his wife and family. This guest speaker edition of United Tribes News Radio was produced by the Office of Public Information at United Tribes Technical College. Dennis Newman, director, Alicia Heglin-Thorpe, producer. UTTC is a diverse campus community providing post-secondary education and training for Native students and students of all racial and ethnic backgrounds. Learn more at our website, UTTC.edu, and on Facebook. United Tribes, leadership begins here.